As we prepare to encounter God's word, let us begin with prayer. Gracious God, this ancient text, help it to be relevant to our life this day. Amen. This morning, our lectionary text comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the letters to the church at Ephesus. And this is a precious passage that speaks of an appeal to be united, that we've all been given a gift, different gifts. The diversity is within the body of faith, but it is used to build up the church, the body, for service, to be one. Hear now the words of Scripture. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given a grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who ascended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery or their craftiness and deceitful schemes. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way to him who is the head and to Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord. And from our gospel this morning, the gospel of St. John, chapter 6. Jesus has just fed the 5,000, and the people want more food. They want healing. They want more of Jesus. So they're following him wherever he goes. And Jesus is saying, you know, the food that I gave you was a sign of a deeper spiritual food that I can give you. And you must trust and believe in order to receive that, to receive that Jesus is the one whom God set his seal upon him, that Jesus is the bread of life. Hear now the gospel lesson. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? And Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. And they said to him, Well, what sign are you going to give us so that they may see it and believe you? What works are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty, hungry, and who believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord. Well, those of you who have been Presbyterian for a while, you understand this book. We refer to this as our Book of Order. It's part of our Constitution. In this book, it outlines a lot of things. It talks about worship and how to do that, and talks generally about how to run the church. And it has a section on discipline, and I have to admit I've never read it, and I hope I don't have to. But one of the things this book talks about up front is the great ends of the church. In other words, what are we to be about as the church? And I want to talk about one of the great ends. It says we are to exhibit the kingdom of God to the world. We are specifically to show the world what the kingdom of God is like here on earth. And I think, what a monumental order. I think more often we're like the disciples. We're following Jesus maybe to get our stomachs filled rather than filling up on spiritual food. And it's because they just didn't fully understand what Jesus had to offer. The people were searching for more and more and more. And no wonder they kept following Jesus, begging for more. Let us pray. Oh God, you call us to be the church, and that means we are to trust you on this journey with us. Guide us as we seek to understand your words today. Amen. Well, a few years ago, there was this commercial of a woman. She was dressed very stylish, seated alone at what appeared to be an expensive restaurant, and the camera focuses on her face. She's talking to an unseen friend across the table. "You know, Jack got another promotion. He is doing so well. And the kids? Why, the kids are just doing great. Did I tell you Jack got a promotion?" "Oh, I guess I did." And then the camera goes and focuses on her at her home. And here she is at home alone, crying with a drink in her hand, saying, "Everything is great. Everything is great. I am so unhappy." You know, it almost breaks your heart when you see that. But the irony is that this woman who appears to have everything, money, looks, successful husband, wonderful kids, is still hungering and thirsting for more, something more. And so I can't help but ask, isn't there times in all of our life where we're hungering, thirsting, reaching for something that doesn't satisfy? And so we say, how do we fill up those cravings? You know, sometimes we go shopping, buy more. We can't pass up a for sale sign, and we need one more purse. And we fill up our houses to overflowing, and then we fill up our garages so we can't get a car in there. And then before long, we're renting storage space for our stuff. And we realize, you know, there are all kinds of cravings. There's cravings for power, for money, for fame, appearance, ego, sports. Now I know I have to be careful. I'm in Nebraska. Yeah, this is coming up, the high holy days of Nebraska football season. So I back off on that one. But just as people were chasing after Jesus, they wanted a meal. They wanted a meal ticket. They're asking for something to satisfy what? Was it physical needs? Were they really looking for something more? And just like us, sometimes we have a hard time saying, this is a need and this is just a desire. I think as a society at large, we're sort of driven to want more, have more, do more all the time, and do it with immediate satisfaction. But in our scripture, Jesus is speaking of a food that fills not our stomachs, but our soul. Psychologist Abraham Maslow proposed his hierarchy of needs. I'm sure most of you could recite all of these. There's our basic needs, food, clothing, and shelter. And then he said there's a higher level of need, and that is love, companionship, and a sense of meaning and purpose in life. And Maslow goes on to argue that a human being is not complete unless they have an opportunity to address the full range of needs. And I think Jesus, too, is pointing to that higher need of meaning and purpose. Why are we here? The bread of heaven, not the bread of this earth. And so we can't help but stop and say, you know, tell me now, what does this mean? What does God want from us? And so Jesus answers in this passage here, and he says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who God has sent. Now, I read this many times this week, over and over, and to be honest, it kind of strikes me as detached from my day-to-day living. To believe. Well, we do. We all do. We believe, don't we? And so you can look at this, and it was sort of a letdown. You know, you can see where this answer can cause college students to sleep in on a Sunday morning. Couldn't Jesus have announced something daring? This was his opportunity. You know, they were asking to do something for God in the plural. They wanted works. You name it. Lord, do you want me to join the Peace Corps? You want me to work in the slums? You want me to clean up the city? You want me to start another soup kitchen? And, you know, this is strange because Jesus was always concerned for those in the margins and for the poor. He could have launched a real crusade. He could have at least started quite a fund drive. He had the opportunity. Instead, he just says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. Is what God is asking of us is faith. That we believe. One author said, you know, that word faith has just been hitched to too many wagons and it's lost its real meaning. Today we have faith in the Reader's Digest, faith in America. Or remember the song, faith, hope, and charity. That's the way to live successfully. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. John, I did that just for you, so you'll ask me to join the choir. You know, faith sort of seems a bit elusive, but with God, it is the absolutely indispensable requirement. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it's not just faith for faith's sake. Sometimes we just say, oh, I have faith. But faith in what? Faith of itself, in the abstract, is not a biblical category. We talk of faith to believe, but it's important what we believe in. It is not the fact of faith that is crucial, but the object of faith. It makes no sense to have faith in faith. God wants us to have faith in Jesus the Christ, whom God sent. God wants us to trust in him. That when we read the Gospels, when we read especially the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking those words, that we feel and we hear and we see that this is God. because God has revealed God's self in the person of Jesus and is asking us to believe, not because it works or because it feels good, it's because it's true. Jesus alone is the one whom God set his seal. Perhaps it is baptism when he said, "This is my beloved. Listen to him." You know, this may seem like an oversimplification, but not if we understand that faith in Jesus is what ultimately matters. Ultimately, it is our center, our focus, our frame of reference. You know, every one of us have many different activities and many different lives, so to speak. You could name them. You have your business life, you have your family life, you have your social life, you have your recreational life, your spiritual life, your volunteer life, and heaven knows how many other lives you may have. But no matter how many spokes you have, you don't have a wheel until you have a hub. Many branches do not make a tree without a trunk. Our hub is the work, singular, to live a life of faith in Jesus the Christ. Brett Blair says, bread has its power, but in the end, its power will fail. Bread can buy you land, but cannot buy you love. It can buy you bonds, but it cannot buy you brotherhood. It can buy you gold, but not gladness. Silver, but not sincerity. Hospitals, but not health. 3 carats, but not character. Houses, but not homes. To satisfy the hunger for the kingdom of God, we are to receive the bread that Jesus offers, the bread that gives life to this world. So now let's bring it back home. What is happening here at Westminster is what I see. We're not running around trying to be more, bigger, better, but I see men and women attempting to exhibit the kingdom of God right in this place. And now is the time to consider, what kind of church is God calling us to be? And I don't mean denomination. I mean we're called to listen and to discern from the book of Ephesians, what are the gifts that God has placed into me? And what am I to do about it? Consider your strengths, your spiritual gifts, and how are you using it to build up the kingdom here and now? Who are we reaching today? How do we feed the faithful who have been here for generations? What is next for this great church? This is exciting times for Westminster. There's no doubt about it. I found a quote by Robert Greene that said, "The task of the leader is to strengthen the hands of the strong, to help the strong know how to be spiritually alive. Then they understand that there's something more than physical bread to offer to all people." And I thought, does that not resonate with the mission of this church? Jesus says, physical things are important. Bread is important. The church is important because this is where we come. And we receive sustenance from the table. We pray, we sing, we listen, we hear God's voice, and we go forth and serve as a community of faith. But more important than the brick and mortar is what's happening within each one of us. Are we spiritually alive? Is that spiritual formation happening? Are we building community with one another? Are we reaching out with a sense of mission? You know, I'm not hearing about maintaining a building. You just do that. What I hear is that this is a community who wants to be a united community here, connected to one another, to share physical bread as well as the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I will satisfy your deepest hunger. For all who come together here will receive the grace and love of God, to be fed, to be nourished by God, that truly will satisfy the hunger. For Jesus is the true bread of heaven. So come this day to the table. Be filled with the true bread of heaven. Amen.